30 days of your life was on video and God was grading you based on that video, would it show that you love Jesus?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of this message, which we heard last week, Pastor Brian Grant spoke of Paul's longing for the Ephesian believers and how he prayed for their spiritual enlightenment, that they would come to know the riches that were theirs in Christ Jesus, that they would come to know the life-changing hope of his calling. Pastor Grant importantly pointed out how the Bible uses the word hope in a completely different way from which we normally speak and think of hope. This week, as Pastor Grant concludes this message in his Ephesians series, he picks up the theme again in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, where the Apostle John describes the effects of that blessed hope and its power in the life of the believer. Please turn there with us now and see it for yourself as Pastor Grant concludes his message, The Power of Hope. Once again, here is Pastor Grant.
The hope of God's calling, power for abundant living. But secondly, power for holy living. Amen. Power for abundant living, but power for holy living. Let's jump over to 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verse number 1. And here's what the Apostle John tells us here. In 1 John chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be what? Called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. And then he says, and everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. Somebody say amen. Amen. You notice here, it's a purifying hope. He says, if you got this hope, amen, if you grasp the hope of God's calling, it is a purifying hope. Satan knows that anyone who really fully grasps and is living with an upward view has a different attitude to sin. When we live with an upward focus, it changes our attitude to sin. No wonder, but somehow he has gotten us to change and to take our eyes off of heaven and make it about earth. It's interesting, they tell us, the surveys of preachers like me, they said, if you survey the messages we preachers preach today versus what we were preaching 30 years ago, they will tell you there is a dramatic shift. There is a tremendous shift away from an upward focus. It used to be there was a time you would hear more messages about heaven and God is taking us to heaven and the glory that awaits us in heaven, but suddenly the messages changed. Because we only want to hear about what has God done for me lately. It has become an earth-focused message. It's no wonder then that all the reputable surveys tell us, oh, this is true and sad. The surveys tell us that if you compared the lifestyle of the average Christian versus the lifestyle of the average non-believer, there is hardly any difference. Did you know that? They tell us, and by the way, this is work done by Barna and some of these researchers, they tell us that Christians are just as likely to be materialistic. Christians are just as likely to be hedonistic. Christians are just as likely to be sexually immoral as the unbeliever. That's a problem. Something is wrong with that picture. So let me ask you. You say, that's the average. Let's talk about you. Suppose God decided to arrive in person today and give each of us our annual review. After church, you arrived home, God is there. By the way, He is, but suppose, just imagine for me that He actually shows up in person and He asks you a number of questions and He grades you. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you grade? No, just remember it's God doing the grading. Let me ask you another way. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Oh, well, before you decide, because you may quickly decide, so let me tell you what evidence of the prosecutor. Suppose the prosecutor had hired a private detective. And suppose the prosecutor, that private detective, had a hidden camera. And suppose that prosecutor had taped your life for the last 30 days. What would the tape reveal? Oh, come on now. Would that tape reveal someone who is really in love with Jesus? Someone who takes time to do their devotion and to read God's word? Would that tape show someone who shares his message with others? Would that show someone who loves to pray? Would that tape show someone who really is committed to being in God's house? Amen. Or would the tape show somebody who, when the church folk came around, you like the devil, your mouth is foul, the stuff you watch is, you use your imagination. I just want to ask you, because you know what happened over the last 30 days. I just want to ask you, if the last 30 days of your life was on video and God was grading you based on that video, would it show that you love Jesus? Because my Bible tells me that if we really grasp the hope of God's calling, it is a purifying hope. A Christian has to look different. Let's keep looking at 1 John chapter 3 down to verse number 7. Boy, it gets a little tough. Oh, I could, if I preach the whole message just on this chapter, you may get really worried. So let me only preach on two more verses from here. 1 John chapter 3 verse 7, he says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, the Lord Jesus, is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Oh my. He who sins is of who? For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God, what does your Bible say? Does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Oh my goodness, what a passage. What a passage. God is saying, you see, he says, don't be deceived. Don't let anybody deceive you. You know, sometimes we have friends and relatives who, when we sin, they will tell you, you don't have to worry about it because God understands. It's a lie. God never understands sin. There's only one thing God does about sin. He judges sin. Jesus Christ died for sin. And my friend, if you realize that you are living in sin, that you are not walking in holiness, you need to make a decision today. There has got to be a change. If you find that you can sin and it doesn't really bother you, you probably need to come back to the cross. But listen, if you find that you can sin and all you do is say, God, please forgive me, but you have no intention of changing, you need to talk to God this morning. Because listen, the person who is born of God does not practice sin. He says the person who is born of God practices what? Righteousness. Did you see it in your Bible? You practice righteousness. And my friend, God is saying part of the power of hope is that God wants to use the hope of our calling to transform our lives. A man found an eagle's egg, and he put it in a nest, but it was a wild turkey's nest. The egg hatched. And of course, this eagle, he grew up with the turkeys, so he ate all the food the turkeys was eating. He scratched in the ground just like the turkeys did. He was pretty much earthbound, just like turkeys are earthbound. But one day, he looked up and he saw two eagles flying. They were way up and they were flying so majestically. Man, this eagle was captivated by what he saw. And he said to one of his turkey friends, he said, "How can they fly so high and we can barely get off the ground?" His turkey friend said, "It's because they are eagles and we are turkeys." And guess what? The little eagle, for the rest of his life, he believed he was just a turkey. He lived his life way below his potential because he thought he was just a turkey.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Do you realize you're not a turkey? Do you realize you're an eagle? You said, "Bring it home." Do you realize you live with sinners? But you realize you ain't one? Are you getting it? You see, in Ephesians chapter 1, as the Apostle Paul starts off in the first verse, he's writing to a bunch of folks who I shared with you a week or two ago. These were big time sinners in the past, but now because they had been washed by the blood of Jesus, they were no more sinners. And so in verse 1, he addresses them as saints. My friend, when the blood of Jesus touches you, you are no longer a sinner. Hallelujah. You are a saint. You don't have to live like a sinner because something has happened to you. Amen. The blood of Jesus has transformed you. He has changed you. He made you brand new. And look at what it tells us here in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. It says, "Beloved, right now we are children of God." Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you've never received him as your Savior, I'm not speaking to you just yet. I'll get to you in a moment. But if you know Jesus, you're no more a sinner. You are a saint. And it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God." Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say not only what we are right now, he goes on to say what we're going to be in a minute. Amen. He said, "It has not yet been revealed what we shall be." We don't know all the details. Amen. But he says, "But what we do know is that when Jesus Christ is revealed, we shall be what? Like him." Hallelujah. Are you excited about that prospect? Are you excited about seeing him? The apostle says, "Listen, right now we are children of God, but one day we're going to be better. We are going to be like Jesus. Right now we are just members of the royal aristocracy of heaven, but one day we're going to be like our blessed Savior." Hallelujah. And so in verse number 3 says, "And therefore everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure." Let's break it down and let's make sure we get what he's saying. What the apostle is saying, when you really grasp what verse 2 is saying, the evidence that you have really grasped it is based on how you live your actual life. Did you see verse 3? Verse 3 says, "Everyone who has this hope purifies himself." Listen, if you got it, if you really grasp verse 2 as to who you are and what you're going to be, it is going to change your life. And if your life is not changed, the evidence suggests that you really haven't fully grasped the hope of your calling. This morning, God is talking to us. He's speaking to you and he's speaking to me and he's saying, hey, there's something really incredible ahead. And he says, in light of that, you need to change. Now, you know what happens? There is no switch. You and I cannot flick a switch when we get home and immediately we are spiritual. Did you know that? And so the Bible talks, and as you study the Bible, you realize that sanctification is a process. It's a journey. But it's a journey I must embark on consciously. What I want to do is to make sure that every single day I am progressing on the journey. Am I right about it? And I want to ask you, my friend, have you made a conscious decision? You see, it's wanting to come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. But now that he's in your heart and in your life, you need to make a conscious decision to walk with him, to grow, to get to higher ground. And this morning, God is challenging some of you. He's challenging some of us. He's challenging us. God, it's time. It's time for me to go to higher ground. And God, today, I am making a conscious decision to grow. Are you willing to make that conscious decision, God? I know I may fall along the journey, but God, I want to grow. I want to know you better. I want to live a different type of life. God, I don't want to live this type of life. I want to live a life that pleases you. The power of hope. Power for abundant living, power for holy living, but finally, power to see the invisible. Amen. I'm not talking about power to see ghosts, but let me put up a verse of scripture on the screen so you can see what I'm talking about. And I'm going to put on the screen 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. And here's what it says. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Notice what Paul says right in the middle. He says, we fix our gaze, what? On things that cannot be seen. That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying we have power to see the invisible. We have power to gaze on things that cannot be seen. We can gaze on the invisible. I tell you, when we gaze on the invisible, you want to talk about the power of hope? You start gazing on the things that cannot be seen. You see, the devil has gotten us so gazing on the things that can be seen. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, all that stuff, all that nice hairstyle, as I was thinking of the message, I said, boy, one time I thought I would have hair forever. All that good teeth you got, I still got mine. All that stuff is going to go. All the stuff. The stuff you put so much emphasis, it's all going to be gone. And the Apostle Paul says, why do we spend all our time focusing on the things that are going to be gone and spend so little time focusing on the things that will last forever? And this is why God this morning is bringing to your attention the hope of your calling. And he's saying, listen, you need to gaze on the invisible. Gaze on what's ahead. And I want to tell you, my friend, when we gaze on the invisible, it will transform your life. You say, Pastor, how do you mean it will transform my life? You know, many of us, if we cut our finger, we have to call all our friends to have a pity party. I know some of you are going through a lot of drama in life. Some of you have some real issues that you're dealing with. But I want to suggest to you, based on the authority of God's word, that when you start gazing on the invisible, it changes your perspective. You say, tell me more. The Apostle Paul, 5 times he was beaten with 39 stripes. Now, between you and I, my brother was telling people on Friday, I got the most beaten because I was the worst one. But listen. There was no time I ever got 39 strokes. And to be honest with you, the little strokes my daddy did, as good as he tried, as well as he leaned back and did his thing, it was nothing compared to what the Apostle Paul got. 39 stripes, 5 times. 3 times he was beaten with rods. My daddy never beat me with no rod. 3 times with rods. 1 time he was stoned till he was almost dead. 3 times he was shipwrecked. And here's what he says after all of that. He says in the verse on the screen, "For our present troubles are what? Are small." Child of God, you're going through stuff. Some of us, we will go through stuff. But God is saying, there is power to hope. And when you gaze on the invisible, when you fix your eyes on the things that you cannot see, when you fix your eyes on your heavenly calling, when you fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus, that one day you are going to be with Him, your blessed Savior, when you fix your eyes on what's ahead, hallelujah, we're able to bear the challenges and the struggles. And the Apostle Paul says, for our present troubles are small and they won't last very long. Child of God, it ain't going to last long. It'll soon be over. No matter what you're going through, it will soon be over. But Paul says, let me tell you something that won't be over. He says, yet the struggles, they're producing for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Aren't you glad that we have hope in Jesus Christ? And I'm so glad that one of these days I'm going to see my Savior. And I tell you, when that happens, everything is going to be worth it all.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.